Now, of course, my next guest knows all about those barricades, having appeared in Les Miserables and particularly the 25th anniversary. It gives me great pleasure to speak with Alfie Beau. Hello,
Hi.
Alfie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Alfie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Now, of course, before we move on to, you know, smash hit musical and obviously the single that's being released, You've had many chapters in your life and many sort of chance moments. I mean, now from switching on the Trafalgar Square lights to filling the O2, it must have been something you could only dream about when you were a mechanic.
I didn't actually think it was, things like that would happen when I was a kid. I didn't dream about one day I'll turn on the Trafalgar Square lights. I thought one day I might nick them or something like that. But no, it was never really in my mind that that's what would happen or that's the direction I would go. But I've been very fortunate that things have worked out the way they have and that my career has begun to take off a little bit,
That's an understatement, I think, Mr. Beau. But of course, fate intervened, and when you were working as a mechanic, I remember reading about this years ago, and perhaps you can tell the listeners who don't know the story.
Yeah, I used to, obviously, growing up in the north of England, you were always told to get yourself a trade, and you've always got something to fall back on. So I became a body mechanic in a car factory. And, to pass the time during the day, I used to sing along to the radio or sing along to entertain my colleagues. And sometimes they like it, sometimes they didn't. but there was at one point this guy who turned up to check on his car. It was his car I was working on. Heard me singing and approached me and said, you've got a good voice. You should become a professional singer. There's a company in London that are taking people on that are auditioning. You should go and try out for them. So I took the day off work, came down to London, auditioned for them, and won a space in their ensemble, in their chorus, and that was it, really. And I've never heard from this guy since. I've never met him since. He's never come up to say hello or anything like that. It was a little spooky when you think about it,
Absolutely. It's almost like he wasn't there, like a sort of spirit came along and just appeared. Exactly. How amazing. And, of course, he was working for the Doily Cart Opera Company.
Well,
yeah,
that was,
yes,
that was the company I was working for, but I don't
Not
know
right.
if
oh, we don't know him. Oh,
him. No,
how
no.
amazing. It's kind of, it's like something out of a Hollywood musical where you're suddenly discovered in these sort of ordinary circumstances, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
That's wonderful. And you were up against 1,000 hopefuls, if I'm right.
There was a fair few of us, yeah, but I was very lucky.
Was this really the turning point, do you feel?
It was the start of everything, really, yeah. It was my first professional job, and I didn't really want to look back after that. I wanted to just continue on and get better and improve my technique. So after I'd finished the tour, I actually went to music college and started studying singing and just developed my stamina, my ability to sing, studied languages and styles of classical music and that sort of thing, and then really went into the opera houses after that.
That must have taken some amount of time. Does it take a long time to build that technique? Obviously, you had the raw talent there, but to get that stamina, does it really take an awful lot of everyday practicing exercises?
It does, but I mean, it's a case of the amount that you do throughout the day and just keeping on it all the time. You have to. There's moments where you're employed to do a job, and the job in itself is stamina building, so you really do get quite the workout, really, when you're learning a piece, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I bet it is. It's a real kind of test, isn't it? Now, of course, you've worked with one of my all-time favourite directors, Baz Luhrmann, behind Strictly Ballroom. He also cast you, of course, in La Bohème.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He was a great guy to work with, he was auditioning singers for his Bohème on Broadway that he was directing, and I came along and sang for him one afternoon, and he was thrilled, and then he asked me to come back to New York and have a second audition. So I flew over to my first time in New York. It was wonderful. Yeah, I visited every diner on Broadway, and it was great. I ate so many burgers; it was fantastic. And then he offered me the job immediately after my audition. So I was so pleased. I came back to London on a cloud. I really did.
I bet you did. I mean, you sound a very modest gentleman, I have to say. But in Baz Luhrmann's words, he found you absolutely extraordinary.
Well, that's very nice. I mean, he's a great guy, and I just wanted to really do my best, and that's what I want to do for any job I can. Is just work hard and put, you know, produce a good product, really.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've worked with an awful lot of directors and obviously great producers, and obviously the great producer Cameron McIntosh, because back in September this year you took the lead as Jean Valjean in Les Miserables for 11 glorious performances.
In the West End I played there, and then two performances at the O2 Arena, and it was I have so much to thank Cameron for, because his trust in employing an opera singer to be the main role in one of his musicals. He really had to trust that his instinct and his gut feeling was right to do that, and so I was very honoured to be a part of his team and a part of his show that he is protective of so much, and it was a wonderful event, and his the fact that he cast me in this show has really turned my career around. So my heart goes out to Cameron. I really have to thank him so much, really.
Wonderful. It's a two-way thing, I should imagine. I mean, leading a cast is no mean feat, especially for that musical, because it's 25 years, isn't it, that it's been going now?
It is, and to stand on stage at the O2 Arena, it's quite the event, with 18,000 people in front of you and cameras flying around. You have to just, you know, people say, how do you manage that? How do you deal with that pressure? And I suppose that's what you do when you're going through your training. You know, you learn how to perform, you develop your ability to perform, and you learn how to cope with your nerves, and it's just a case of embracing it, not ignoring it, but embracing what you have to face and making it exciting.
Absolutely. Know? Do you imagine there's just one person out there, or, you know, to stop the nerves, or?
No, I imagine that there's 18,000 people out there, and I want to communicate with every single one of them.
Oh, lovely.
By the end of that show, I felt I was. I felt I'd really reached every single person in the arena, you know.
Oh, everyone, I'm sure, felt very touched as well. Now, of course, leading on from that, as such a successful performer, you must have so many choices, but what was it about revisiting this song, and particularly having the profits go to Tickets for Troops, that attracted you?
Well, this was an idea that I had over a year ago now, to make a charity single for our troops, you know, in Afghanistan, and I just think it's such a poignant song as well. It means, in the show itself, the song is sung by Jean Valjean, and it's sung about the student soldier Marius, who is praying to God in a way to protect. He doesn't want any harm to come to him from the battle or anything like that.
Yes, absolutely. No, it really is a very poignant part in the show, isn't it? I'm sure it's going to be done to absolute perfection. Also, we had Raleigh Addington from Tickets for Troops on the show as part of an armistice show that we did, so people are very much aware of Tickets for Troops, and especially this time of year, that song's going to be particularly poignant for people to hear, I believe.
It is. Yeah. It's very poignant for them to hear, and the fact that we've actually got the four Valjeans doing it as well, it's four of us, which is the original guy, Colm Wilkinson, who played it 25 years ago, Simon Bowman, who played it in the West End, John Owen Jones, who played it on the tour, and myself, who did the role at the O2. So
wonderful. Four Jean Valjeans, that's real.
It's really
value
cool.
For money, isn't it?
It's really cool. We're actually this evening on the Royal Variety Performance, we're performing the quartet.
Ah, fantastic.
So you'll be able to catch it, have a little sneak preview of it on the Royal Variety Show this evening. And it was a wonderful event.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we can get an even more sneak preview even before the Royal Variety Performance, because I'm going to play the wonderful song now. So,
so
I'm going to sign off from saying thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope it goes brilliantly. Look forward to seeing Royal Variety tonight. And I will treat the listeners to Bring Him Home by yourself.
Thank you so much. All the best to everyone over in the Afghanistan and all the troops. I wish them all a very Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. We definitely concur with that, Brooklyn's Radio, for sure. Thanks very much, Alfie. Have a lovely Christmas.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Alfie Beau, the amazingly talented singer, and we're going to hear him in action now as Jean Valjean from Les Miserables and Bring Him Home.
Golden eye, hear my prayer in my knee.